Hi, and welcome to Widowed Too Soon. This is Michelle Bader Ebersole. I am all by myself. Mark and I were not able to coordinate schedules so close to Christmas. So I'm just going to do a very, very quick episode. If you are watching, you can see I'm wearing my ugly Christmas sweater. I'm about to head out to our Widow Goals Christmas party. I wish you could all join us. Next week, we'll catch up on what's been going on, but I just wanted to do a very, very quick episode. This is actually inspired, he doesn't even know it, by one of our listeners, Rob Linger. I saw his Facebook post today, and it's about an article called What Grieving People Wish You Knew at Christmas. And I thought it was really great information, so I wanted to share it and have this as an episode that you could share with your friends and family to be like, hey, these are the things that I wish you knew about what I'm grieving about. So I'm just going to read part of it and talk about it. I'm also going to put a link in the descriptions to this article because it's very, very interesting. So let me go ahead and just read part of this. Number one, so these are the things we want our friends and family to know. Even the best times are punctuated with an awareness that something is missing. This is what the article says. I remember a conversation I had with a friend as we prepared to head out for the holiday trip shortly after our daughter Hope died. That should be fun, she said. I sensed I was supposed to agree wholeheartedly with her. What I didn't know how to explain is that when you've lost a family member, even the best of times are painfully incomplete. Someone is missing. Even the best days and happiest events are tinged with sadness. Wherever you go, the sadness goes with you. And I can definitely speak to this my first Christmas without Luke. To me, the biggest memory of feeling just that aloneness was, or just feeling that like something's missing, was obviously like Christmas morning when we ate our cinnamon rolls and he was usually our Cinnabons eating those with us. That was a huge time. And then on Christmas Day, when me and my kids went to his family's house, like his parents, and you know, he would always sit down with us and have a big Christmas dinner. And it was so obvious that he was missing. And we all cried. And so it can be very, very difficult, but just know it's not always going to feel like this. Number two, this is what we want our friends and family to know when we're grieving. Social situations are hard. Can I get an amen? I totally remember that. I remember just feeling so uncomfortable. It was also COVID, so there wasn't a lot of situations, but it was a big party my brother was having near 4th of July and just feeling really awkward going into that because it was like people didn't know whether they should say something or not say something. As you've heard before, I always say it's better to say something than not. This is what the article says about it. I have never been able to figure out why crowds are difficult when you're grieving, but they are. Small talk can be unbearable when something so significant has happened. Meeting new people will likely bring questions about family. To walk alone into a room full of couples when your spouse has died, or into an event filled with children when your child has died, can be soul-crushing reminder of what you have lost. That's good. If you've invited someone in the midst of grief to your holiday event, let them know that you understand if it seems too hard at the last minute and they have to cancel, or that they may be only to stay for a short time. If you're going to an event, give a grieving person a call and ask if you can pick her up and stick with her or him throughout the event for support. When you come upon a grieving person at a holiday social event, let him know what you are still thinking, that you are still thinking about the person that they love that has died, and invite him to talk about his memories with that person. Don't be afraid. This is so big. Don't be afraid to say the name of the grieving person who's died. It will be a balm to the grieving person's soul. Yes, I love that. I love when people still, when they actually like say Luke's name and memories and things like that. Please, friends and family, don't be afraid to say that. Give us the space when we're grieving to be able to have an escape. Like, it's okay to leave early. I love the part about picking a friend up, but also being willing to like leave early if they want to leave early. Whew, it's good. This is a great article. Thanks, Rob. Number three, extended family can be awkward and uneasy. Grief is often awkward, even and perhaps especially with those to whom we're closest. This is all from the article. My husband and I host weekend retreats for couples that have lost children, and the difficulty of being with family at the holidays is often a topic of conversation among these couples. They know that some family members think they've grieved long enough and want them to move on. Others want to initiate a conversation about the person who died but aren't sure how. What often happens is that the name of the person who died is never mentioned, and it feels the person who's grieving that they've been erased from the family. True, say their name. Do you know a grieving person heading to a family gathering for the holidays? You might ask about their expectations when they're with their family, and if they have a strong desire for their loved one to be remembered in a certain way, combined with a fear that it may not happen. You might encourage and help them to write a letter to their family in advance, stating clearly what would bring comfort rather than expect that their family will instinctively know. So good. This is great advice. I love it. So friends and family, we want you to know that it's hard, but we want you to know we actually invite you to say their names. We invite you to say the hard stuff. All right. There's two more on this list. Number four, tears are not a problem. Yes, they got this right on. Tears are not a problem. What we feel, we heal. Let the tears come. All the stuff you know that I say. Let's see what they say about it. For most of us, grief tends to work itself out in tears. Tears that come at times we don't expect. Sometimes grieving people sense that people around them see their tears as problems to be solved. That tears must mean they aren't doing very well in their grief. But it makes sense that the great sorrow of losing someone we love could come out in tears. Tears are not the enemy. Tears do not reflect a lack of faith. Tears are a gift from God that helps to wash away the deep pain of loss. Oh, it's so good. It's a great gift to let grieving people know that they don't have to be embarrassed by their tears around you, and they are welcome to cry with you. An even greater gift is to shed tears of your own over the loss of the person they love. Your tears reflect the worth of the person who died and assure them that they are not alone in missing the person. Oh, that's so good. Like, a lot of times, grievers don't want someone to fix them. They just want someone to sit beside them and listen and just let them talk, or just let them be. If they need to cry, let them cry. Like, that's one of the things we talk about in grief recovery, is that we don't ever want to stop someone's grief. So we don't actually like comfort them or hug them like when they're crying. We actually let them feel the pain, because if we don't ever feel it, it can never be healed. And so people that love us know that we need to grieve, and it's okay for us to cry. They cry. Tears are not the enemy. All right. Number five. It can be hard to remember why Christmas should be so merry. Yes, I do remember that in the first year. And, you know, I had young kids, not super young, like teenage kids. And like, I needed to still make it special for them. But I remember how hard that first Christmas was. And just like nothing felt the same. But the good news is it doesn't always feel like that. So this is what the article says about it. In O Holy Night, we sing a thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices. Grieving people around you feel the weariness of life and death in this world and wonder how anyone around them can rejoice. They are in desperate need of the reality of Christ to break through their loneliness and despair. While we don't want to preach at them, we do look for the opportunity to share with them the comfort and joy to be found in the coming of God Himself in Christ to rescue us. The life of Jesus... Sorry, I just lost my place. The life of Jesus that began in a wooden cradle will culminate in death on a wooden cross, but it will not be a senseless, meaningless death. It will be a death conquering death, followed by new resurrection life. The writer of Hebrews explains, the Son became flesh and blood, for only as human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death. The power death has now to bring so much sorrow will not be that way forever. What Christ set in motion when he defeated death at his first coming will come to its full fruition when he comes again. This is our great hope at Christmas, and the hope we have to share with those who are grieving at Christmas, that yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. The Christ who came as a baby and died as our substitute will one day return to consummate his kingdom. And when he does, he will wipe away every tear from their eye, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. Revelation 21:4, drop the mic. Like, that's the amazing day that we're going to be in someday, where there's no more tears or crying or pain or mourning and all of those things. It's going to be an amazing time when we're in heaven and reunited with our loved ones, you know, and just be able to be together and all that stuff. So anyways, I totally relate to these. I don't feel all of these anymore, but I definitely, because we're coming on our fourth Christmas without Luke. But I definitely did in the beginning, and I have lots of friends that are going through this right now. It's their first or second Christmas, and it's a really difficult time. So I'm hoping that you can share this with your short episode with your friends and family, and they'll be able to surround you with love. Let me close in prayer. God, we just thank you for every listener today. God, I just pray as they come upon Christmas within a week or less, that you just fill them with peace, you fill them with joy, you fill them with love, and you just give them the peace that passes all understanding, that we can't humanly understand, but you fill all those little cracks and holes in their hearts that are broken in a way that only you can. And we just thank you for the gift of Jesus and Christmas, and I pray that each person will find joy this Christmas, and we just thank you for all you've done. Amen. So, if you like this podcast, give it a little bing, 5 stars on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. If you have a few extra seconds, it really helps us out if you can write a review where you just write a few words about maybe how the podcast has impacted you. It is the end of the year, and if you are looking for a place to do your year-end giving, our nonprofit Widow Goals would love your support. So we not only provide the podcast like you're hearing today and all other 105 episodes that we've done, we also provide scholarships for widows to take grief recovery classes, and we provide local events, maybe someday national events, but today we're doing one here in Vancouver, Washington, where we get together. We did a retreat, and your giving really helps to keep the podcast going, as well as help other widows. So if you feel like giving back, there's a link below. It is all tax deductible, as it is a nonprofit. So anyways, make sure you join us on our Facebook group, Widow Too Soon. We have a lot of people on there that you can connect with, as well as Instagram, all the places. All right. This is like probably the shortest podcast I've ever done. I didn't even know if I'd have time to do one, but I just want to do this one really quick. And Rob Linger, thank you again for providing this. And I will put the link in the description. I want to make sure to give credit where credit is due. This article was written by Nancy Guthrie, and it's on a website called desiringgod.org. And I'll make sure that I link that so you guys can see that. And thanks for being here. And Merry, Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night. All right. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you next time.